Welcome to the deep dive. Imagine you are sitting down at your desk right now. It is March 2026. You reach out, you hit the power button on your machine, and that screen lights up.
Yeah.
Now stop and really think about that interface for just a second, because in the tech landscape we are navigating today, choosing a computer, it's no longer just about picking out a premium chassis with a tactile keyboard or a nice display.
Not at all. It is a binding multi-year decision. You're choosing your digital ecosystem.
Right.
You are deciding the fundamental rules of the world you're going to live, play, and work in every single day.
Which brings us to the core mission of today's deep dive. We are looking at the ultimate OS war of 2026. Mac versus Windows versus Linux.
And to really get into this, we are pulling from a rigorously detailed, just remarkably comprehensive breakdown written by system architect Majid Ghorbanizhad over at Taking Game.
Yeah, he really laid the raw data bare for this one.
He did.
So our goal today is to decode this highly competitive 2026 operating system landscape for you. We are going to analyze the realities of the gaming battlefield, the gritty architectural details of coding environments, the ongoing data telemetry metrics, and, you know, the true multi-year costs of ownership.
Because by the time we wrap up, you are going to know exactly which digital infrastructure you actually belong in.
Exactly. But before we get to those surface-level applications, we really have to start at the bedrock. We need to look at the architectural DNA powering these machines. So looking at the Taking Game data, Apple's macOS 16 Sequoia is built around their proprietary Apple M5 silicon and what I call the XNU hybrid kernel.
Right, and that hybrid approach is it's key to understanding Apple's whole strategy here. Okay. The XNU kernel blends monolithic kernel speed with microkernel modularity, but crucially, it remains entirely closed source.
Completely locked down.
Completely. Yeah. Apple controls the entire stack.
Right.
And that allows them to tightly couple the hardware efficiency cores of that new M5 chip directly to the OS scheduler.
Which is...
It is. That is what facilitates the deep system-wide integration of Apple Intelligence 3.0 that we are seeing in Sequoia.
Okay, let's unpack this. The takeaway here isn't just the technical specs, right? The insight is that Apple is building a fortress where they own the bricks, the mortar, and the guards. They control every single variable to deliver a highly curated experience for you.
Yes.
But then you look at Microsoft's Windows 12. And they are trying to build a public square that works no matter what materials you bring to it. Windows 12 is built on the NT 11.0 kernel.
And Microsoft is heavily pushing the AI PC revolution by utilizing Copilot Plus and those dedicated neural processing units, the NPUs.
Right. But unlike Apple, they have to support a massively fragmented hardware market. I mean, Windows 12 is currently running on Intel processors, AMD, and the ARM-based Snapdragon X.
Managing that level of hardware fragmentation is just an immense engineering hurdle. The NT 11.0 kernel essentially has to act like a chameleon. The inclusion of dedicated NPUs across all those different chip architectures means Windows 12 can offload complex local AI workloads, things like real-time video rendering or complex background search indexing, without taxing your primary CPU.
Which sounds great on paper.
It does, but it requires an incredibly complex abstraction layer to make sure Copilot Plus functions identically on an AMD chip as it does on a Snapdragon.
And then, sitting completely outside of that corporate dichotomy, we have the dark horse of 2026.
Linux.
Specifically, the Taking Game piece highlights distributions like Ubuntu 26.04. It is running on the Linux 6.16 kernel, and it seamlessly supports both x86 and ARM processors.
Right.
But the major divergence here is how it handles the current AI wave. Instead of a mandatory corporate woven AI assistant, Linux offers optional localized integration.
Which is a huge distinction for a lot of users.
Yeah, you can pull down an open source model using something like a Llama, run it strictly on your local hardware, and retain total control.
Which is a fundamental philosophical difference. But the architecture goes much deeper than just the processors and the kernel scheduler.
Oh, absolutely.
When we look at the file systems, Apple's APFS versus Windows NTFS and ReefS, and then Linux's BTFS, XT4, and ZFS, the impact on system stability and data integrity is just massive.
I mean, I know developers who will argue about file systems for hours, but for you listening, why does the jump to something like ZFS or BTFS on Linux actually matter day to day?
It really comes down to how these systems handle data corruption and system recovery.
Okay.
Apple's APFS is hyper-optimized, but exclusively for Apple's own solid-state drives. Microsoft's NTFS is a legacy system built for maximum compatibility across decades of different hardware.
Right, it's everywhere.
Exactly. While ReFS is their attempt at modernization. But Linux's BTFS and ZFS employ something called copy-on-write functionality and instantaneous snapshotting.
Snapshotting. So what does that mean if my computer crashes?
Well, if a major system update breaks your computer, or if a sector on your drive corrupts, a LFS file system allows you to roll back your entire operating system to the exact state it was in 3 seconds before the crash.
Wow.
It provides an incredible level of resilience.
So the foundation dictates your control. Do you want the hyper-optimized closed loop of macOS, the broad hardware-agnostic reach of Windows 12? Or the deeply customizable, resilient architecture of Linux 2026.
It really sets the stage for everything else.
It does. And seeing how these foundations hold up when pushed to their absolute limits in real time brings us to our next major arena. Let's talk about the gaming battlefield.
What's fascinating here is how the established hierarchies have shifted, yet one king remains firmly on the throne.
Yeah.
According to the rigorous benchmark data from Taking Game, Windows 12 is still the undisputed gamer's choice.
The reigning champion and the metrics completely back it up. Windows 12 boasts over 99% compatibility with AAA titles on platforms like Steam.
Unbeatable.
It has comprehensive kernel-level anti-cheat support, which we know is a hard requirement for modern competitive multiplayer games. It leverages DirectX 12 Ultimate. But the feature that really caught my eye in the architect's breakdown is the new GameCore technology.
Yes, the GameCore tech.
The data shows this OS-level tech actually boosts frame rates by up to 20%.
And that 20% boost is achieved through aggressive resource reallocation. When GameCore detects a heavy rendering load, it systematically suspends background telemetry and non-essential OS services.
Just shuts them down.
Right, funneling your CPU cache directly to the game. Furthermore, when you look at the virtual reality and extended reality space, PC VR running on Windows paired with headsets like the MetaQuest absolutely dominates the market share.
I mean, a 20% bump just from the operating system managing resources better is a massive win for PC builders. But I have to admit, looking at Taking Game's data, I had to do a double take at the gaming runner-up.
It is surprising.
Linux beating Mac in AAA gaming compatibility by that wide of a margin is a massive upset. Walk me through the engineering that made this possible.
It is a monumental feat of open source engineering, largely driven by a compatibility layer called Proton.
Proton, right.
Proton essentially translates Windows-specific API calls like DirectX into Vulkan, which Linux can understand. And it does this all in real time with virtually zero latency.
That's crazy.
Because of this, Linux gaming compatibility has hit an astonishing 85%. Add in SteamOS 4.0, which is fundamentally a Linux distribution, and you see Linux now powering the absolute best gaming handhelds on the market.
Yep.
They support Vulkan ray tracing and have functional, albeit partial, anti-cheat compatibility.
It's honestly like a weekend DIY mechanic showing up to the track in a custom-built car and effortlessly smoking a luxury sports car.
That's a great way to put it.
Because that brings us to the straggler in this race.
Yeah.
macOS 16 Sequoia.
The data is stark here. macOS is still dead last in gaming. Apple introduced Metal 4 to improve their proprietary graphics pipeline and add limited hardware-accelerated ray tracing, but they still sit at roughly 35% compatibility with AAA games.
35%. That's tough.
Yeah. They have virtually no native anti-cheat support, which immediately kills any presence in the competitive esports scene. And outside of the Vision Pro, which exists in a highly restricted premium spatial computing ecosystem, they have no footprint in the broader PC VR or handheld gaming markets.
Apple clearly views gaming through a totally different lens than the rest of the industry. So if you are a gamer listening to this, the telemetry is clear. Windows 12 is the ultimate powerhouse. Linux is the brilliant, rapidly rising underdog dominating the handheld space. And Mac is essentially sitting out the traditional PC gaming fight.
Pretty much.
But while gaming pushes hardware to its limits, there is another arena where the stakes shape the future of the internet itself. This is the realm where the software we use every day is actually engineered.
That is the developer's domain. And in many ways, this is the battlefield that dictates long-term industry dominance.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the constraints each OS places on developers shape the applications you end up using. Let's start with what the Taking Game architect calls the Apple lock-in. If your career or your startup relies on developing iOS apps for the iPhone, macOS 16, and their proprietary software, Xcode, are your only viable option.
Your only ones.
It is an exclusive walled garden. You simply cannot compile iOS apps natively on Windows or Linux.
It is a powerful monopoly on mobile development. We can debate the merits of a closed ecosystem, but the reality is that Xcode is highly optimized for Apple Silicon.
Which makes it fast.
Incredibly fast compile times, yes, if you stay within their walls. However, outside of that specific iOS ecosystem, the Taken Game data reveals a massive shift toward what they label the Linux supremacy.
Sweeping the board for web and back-end development. According to the breakdown, Linux offers a native Unix terminal experience. It provides native Docker speed, and it has comprehensive framework support, integrating natively with both NVIDIA's CUDA and AMD's ROCm architectures.
And we should contextualize why that matters. Integrating natively with CUDA and ROCm means AI and machine learning developers have raw, direct access to the GPU cores necessary for training massive neural networks. There is no translation layer slowing down the compute. Furthermore, native Docker support is critical.
Yeah, explain that, because Docker is everywhere now.
Running Docker containers on Mac or Windows requires spinning up a virtual machine layer, which eats up RAM and CPU cycles. On Linux, the container shares the kernel directly, resulting in flawless performance without translation overhead. But the most crucial advantage Majid Gurbanguly's HOD highlights is eliminating server mismatch.
Walk the listener through the server mismatch headache, because I know developers who have lost weeks of sleep over this exact issue.
I'm sure you do. So imagine spending a month writing a complex backend service on your local machine. You run your tests, and it operates flawlessly.
Everything looks good.
Right. Then you deploy it to a live production server, and the entire application crashes.
Classic. Why?
Because the vast majority of the internet runs on Linux servers. If you write that code on a Mac or a Windows machine, the underlying architecture, the way file paths are structured, and how memory is allocated are fundamentally different. That is a server mismatch. But if you code on a local Linux machine, you have an exact 1.1 architectural match with that production server. It prevents the classic, it works on my machine failure, and drastically improves deployment stability.
Which is a massive workflow advantage. So where does Windows 12 fit into this development landscape? The data shows they rely heavily on WSL2, the Windows subsystem for Linux.
WSL2 is essentially an advanced emulation layer that allows developers to run a full Linux kernel concurrently inside Windows.
Okay.
It is a very robust tool, and it handles containerization much better than previous iterations, but it is still emulation.
It's not native.
Exactly. It introduces translation overhead and does not provide the pure raw hardware access that a native Linux installation offers. And you still face the inherent risks of server mismatch when crossing back and forth between the Windows host and the Linux subsystem.
So the developer landscape is highly segmented. Mac forces you into their ecosystem to build for mobile. Windows provides a very capable emulation bridge, but Linux gives you the raw, native, exact environment that actually powers the cloud.
Spot on.
Let's pivot from the code being written to the data being generated. The Taken Game analysis meticulously maps out the telemetry, privacy, and security structures of these three ecosystems, and it's something everyone needs to be aware of.
This raises an important question. How are these operating systems structurally designed to handle your personal data?
And just a quick note for you listening. We are looking strictly at the factual telemetry findings reported by the Taken Game system architect. This isn't about passing moral judgment on corporate data practices.
Right, just the data.
We are simply mapping out the architectural realities of how these systems function in 2026 so you have a clear picture of what you are signing up for.
Let's start with Linux, which the author categorizes as the vault. The network analysis shows Linux distributions feature zero mandatory telemetry.
Zero.
Zero. There is no baked-in background data collection reporting back to a central corporate server. Because the codebase is entirely open source, it is fully auditable by third-party security researchers to ensure there are no backdoors. Furthermore, it utilizes robust LUKS and TPM encryption.
And the TPM integration is key there, right? Because it physically ties the encryption to the security chip on the motherboard, making the drive practically untouchable if the hardware is stolen.
Yes.
Plus, there are no mandatory user accounts to log in and zero built-in advertisements in the user interface.
That tracks with the data. It is a highly isolated environment. Moving to Apple's macOS 16 Sequoia, the architect's breakdown indicates macOS engages in minimal system telemetry.
Okay.
They encrypt your disk by default using their proprietary file vault system, which provides excellent local security. However, the operating system heavily pushes the integration of an Apple ID for functionality.
Right, you really needed to use the system properly.
Exactly. While the Core OS remains relatively ad-free and secure, it is a closed-source system, meaning its security auditability is only partial. Users are relying on Apple's internal security claims rather than independent code verification.
Then we have the analysis of Microsoft's Windows 12. Taking Game categorizes Windows 12 as operating with extensive data telemetry. A Microsoft account is a mandatory requirement simply to complete the initial setup of the computer.
You can't even boot to the desktop without it.
Right. And the operating system structurally includes advertisements and sponsored content built directly into the start menu and the widget panels. And from a local security standpoint, their premium disk encryption tool, GitLocker, is restricted to the pro versions of Windows,
leaving standard Home Edition users with fewer native encryption options.
Yeah.
And like Mac OS, it is closed source and only partially auditable. It is a clear illustration of different business models dictating system architecture.
Exactly. Are you comfortable exchanging background data telemetry and UI advertisements for Microsoft's unmatched out-of-the-box software compatibility? Do you prefer the seamless, moderately private, tightly controlled ecosystem of Apple? Or is the zero telemetry, fully auditable environment of Linux your primary requirement?
It is a functional trade-off.
And speaking of trade-offs, we have to look at the financial models. What does this all mean for your wallet? The Taking Game piece runs a fascinating 3-year reality check on the true cost of ownership.
The financial disparity is stark when you look past the initial purchase. Let's analyze the upfront versus hidden costs.
Okay.
To enter the Mac ecosystem, the hardware barrier is high. You are looking at a minimum starting price of around $11,199. The macOS updates are free, but the entry ticket is premium.
Very premium.
Windows PCs offer a much lower barrier to entry, starting around $499 for competent hardware. However, the Windows 12 Home operating system license itself carries a $139 premium if you are building your own machine or need a standalone key.
And the cost to run Linux?
Fundamentally $0.
Wow.
The operating system is free, but more importantly, the kernel is so highly efficient that you can install it on aging hardware and completely revitalize it. You can take a bloated laptop from 2018, install a lightweight Linux distribution, and achieve performance metrics that rival budget machines from 2026.
That hardware efficiency is a massive factor for anyone on a strict budget. But the 3-year reality check also factors in maintenance. What happens when the hardware inevitably fails?
This is where architectural design choices directly impact your bank account. For a Mac, components like RAM and storage are completely soldered onto the motherboard.
You can't change anything.
Nothing. If you need more memory a year later, or if a unified memory module fails, you cannot upgrade or repair it. You are largely forced to purchase a completely new logic board or computer. A simple screen repair often runs between $400 and $700.
Ouch.
Conversely, both Windows and Linux PC hardware are generally highly modular. If a component fails, repairs typically cost between $100 and $250, and you can easily open the chassis to upgrade your own RAM or swap out an NVMe drive.
So what does this all mean? The financial model flips when we look at resale value, right?
It does.
The data shows that because of the premium brand positioning and build quality, a Mac will retain 65% to 75% of its original retail value after 3 years.
Which is impressive.
A Windows PC, due to massive market saturation, will only retain about 30% to 40% of its value, and Linux hardware depreciates at a similarly sharp curve.
The final financial metric the architect points out is the subscription squeeze. Windows 12 is architected with high subscription pressure, constantly nudging users toward Microsoft 365 and OneDrive cloud environments, which impacts enterprise bottom lines.
They really want you on that monthly fee.
They do. Linux, conversely, relies entirely on FOS Fair Free and open source software, meaning there is virtually zero ongoing subscription pressure for core productivity tools. Mac sits in the middle, pushing iCloud upgrades, but offering a very robust suite of free, built-in applications out of the box.
All right, we have navigated the architectural DNA, the gaming benchmarks, the developer environments, the telemetry structures, and the financial realities. It is time to look at Taking Game's final verdict.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Majid Warbaninis had designed a precise decision matrix to determine exactly who should deploy which system in 2026. Let's run through his classifications.
Let's do it.
First, Windows 12. This is designated as the absolute best choice for PC gamers, directly attributed to GameCore resource management and DX12 ultimate compatibility. It is also the necessary infrastructure for enterprise and corporate environments that are deeply entrenched in Active Directory and Microsoft 365 deployments.
Next on the matrix is MUCO 16 Sequoia. This is deemed the essential platform for mobile app developers who have a hard requirement for Xcode. It is also categorized as the premier choice for creative professionals, video editors, musicians, designers, who rely on highly optimized tools like Final Cut Pro and require Apple's industry-standard color accuracy profiles.
Finally, Linux 2026. The data declares this the undisputed winner for web and backend developers due to the elimination of server mismatch. It is the premier choice for AI and machine learning researchers who require native hardware acceleration.
Yep.
It is the necessary choice for privacy advocates demanding zero telemetry and the logical choice for users on a strict budget leveraging older hardware.
And that leads directly to the final system scores from the Taking Game Lab. Windows 12 scores an 8.2 out of 10. They label it the gamer. It holds the crown for AAA gaming and corporate enterprise deployment, but the mandatory telemetry, the integrated start menu advertisements, and the relentless subscription upselling drag down its final rating.
macOS 16 Sequoia scores an 8.5 out of 10. They title it The Craftsman. It remains the benchmark for operating system polish, hardware efficiency, and creative workflow optimization. However, the restrictive nature of the walled garden, the lack of competitive gaming support, and the anti-modular, unupgradable hardware exact a heavy toll on its overall score.
Which leaves Linux 2026. Earning a massive 9.1 out of 10, they designate it the Freedom Fighter. Based on this data, Linux took the 2026 crown, not because it is a flawless, perfectly polished experience for every single user, but because it wins outright in more vital categories than any competitor.
Absolutely.
It dominates the development space, it champions zero telemetry privacy, it offers the most modular cost of ownership, it provides flawless deployment matching, and shockingly, it secured a highly competitive second place in the gaming sector. The ultimate summary rule from the architect is clear. Deploy Mac for creativity, deploy Windows for gaming, and run Linux for literally everything else.
It represents a remarkable shift in the structural hierarchy of our technology. But reflecting on everything we've analyzed today, the kernels, the file systems, the local processing power, it leads me to a lingering technical question. With the rapid deployment of ultra-low latency gigabit internet, how long will it be until local operating systems simply don't matter at all?
Oh, wow.
Are we rapidly approaching a threshold where the underlying hardware becomes entirely irrelevant and our machines act as nothing more than dumb terminals streaming a cloud PC from a server rack hundreds of miles away?
That is a massive paradigm shift to consider. Will your next computer even have a local hard drive? Or will you just be paying a monthly fee for a high-speed video feed of an operating system managed by some AI personality?
It's coming.
We're going to leave you to mull that one over on your own time. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Take a hard look at the interface in front of you today, check the data, and ask yourself, are you actually in the right ecosystem? We'll catch you next time.